Yesterday, we explored the very different points of view regarding the shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri.
When looking at protesters in Missouri, it seems like the community is divided amongst people that want peace and others that resort to violence like looting. How is this community going to come together?
That's Jake from California, and he was answered here by Kelly from St. Louis.
I think one of the biggest takeaways from Ferguson and what I hear people responding to on your show is that they teach their children to be colorblind. When you do that, it's actually a form of racism because there is discrimination in this country, and we are a racist country. So when you teach your children not to see race, you are denying the opportunity to teach them about oppression and how white people are privileged at the expense of racial minority groups.
And Alejandro takes Kelly's thought even farther here.
As a Hispanic just living, you know, in this, it's really become a black and white issue when in reality the nation is not black and white. Where is this place for Hispanics? Where's the place for any Asian background? Where's the place for anyone else who isn't black and white? We are getting marginalized much more in this debate, and everyone else gets left behind.
Thanks for joining the conversation. Playwright and actress Anna Deavere Smith has pioneered a form of narrative drama by looking at the radically different points of view in incidents like Ferguson. She made an award-winning play, Twilight Los Angeles, out of her exploration of the aftermath of the Rodney King riots. By interviewing people in depth on all sides, she brings into focus the depth of the divisions in our communities. She speaks here of how, as dramatic, real-life characters, blacks and whites continually play out this divided nation tragedy.
Well, the cops are on the front line. And one of the things, I'll never forget George Wolfe, a great, you know, theater director and dramatist here in the city who directed my play about the Los Angeles riots. I went there and interviewed well over 300 people. And I remember a session working with George when he said, you know, the cops are really doing our business. They're protecting our property. So the cops are on the front line. And when these explosions happen, they become the main characters. But we all are involved in this. Right? That is not to excuse what happened, but they are the ones on the front line. They are acting out the drama. The cop and the kid is acting out the drama for all of us as we sit back and watch. You know,
cop gets permission from the collective society at large
to protect property.
So it's not bad cops, it's bad society.
Well, I think it's cops. It could be bad cops. I mean, how are the cops trained, right? I mean, you know, I just read an interesting thing while looking at some of the press on this that blew my mind. Of course, Daryl Gates, the then chief of police of Los Angeles, was really accused of destroying that city by not going in there and stopping the unrest. He just let it happen. And I read something in the press about this, that in a way, the kind of more strategic thing to do would not to have the cops there because they just accelerate what's going on, right? So if they weren't there, I mean, what happened in L.A. was, quote-unquote, they burned down their own neighborhoods. Now, that's a very sort of terrible notion, but it did give me pause about, wow, maybe Daryl Gates had a more of a strategy than people gave him credit for.
I can't resist asking you, you know, as a dramatist and as a writer and as an artist, what do you make of the character of Ron Johnson, the state trooper?
He's very interesting, isn't he? Well, it's interesting casting, at the very least. He is more heartfelt than anybody else. Most of the by that I mean the sort of the governor, you know, other officials are reading from a text. They're very careful in their cadences. So I think it's interesting that one person has to be more emotional.
Does the divergence of the point of view surprise you typically in events like this?
Look, none of us are surprised when we read about a Pew Research report that blacks and whites differ about what's going on right now in Ferguson. We're not surprised. So I don't know if I'm really surprised, to tell you the truth. I'm very interested in the differences in opinion. I'm very interested in that sort of Rashomon about what's right and what's wrong in America and about the variety of values here.
Let's look at the pictures in Ferguson, and we see those people protesting, and there's blacks and whites together. And on the local level, there is a sense of people coming together. and sensing the urgency of what's going on. But nationally, we live in bubbles.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, here we are 60 years after Brown versus Board of Ed, and most people assessed, I mean, what a birthday party that was. Most people assess that we're more segregated than ever. As a matter of fact, you know, not very far from Ferguson, you may recall last spring there was an article in the Times about the sort of dismay of white parents when kids from a poor school in Normandy High School were going to be given an opportunity to go to a better school, you know. And some parents came forward and said, you know, we don't want, you know, drugs and violence in our schools. So I think laws can do so much. And at a certain point, we as a nation have to determine that we have the ability to care about more than the people who live inside of our house. But, you know, there are other people who would tell you that it starts with poverty. That, you know, if we really wanted to stop it before it starts, we'd stop poverty. We'd try to bring more equity in our society.
Anna Deavere Smith is an actress, playwright, and professor at New York University. Her documentary-style plays include Fires in the Mirror and Twilight Los Angeles, 1992.